coming up on this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. It's all about the Larians as Carl and Jason respond to your feedback. We get through episode 100 submissions, an unanswered question from Steve Glosson, and some Larian inquiries. So sit back, relax, and watch out for Wampas. Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair. Hey everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 101. I like saying that. The Wampa's Lair and you. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me we have the Ugnaught to my Jawa.
Udini!
We have Carl LeClaire.
Hey, Jason, there's 101 Ugnaughts up in here. 100 of... I already ran out of steam. 101 Ugnaughts. That would be a great Disney musical. The heck with the 101 Dalmatians. 101 Ugnaughts. That'd be one ugly movie.
It would. Because they're not very friendly people either.
I don't know. Those little tusks of theirs and their underbite? Must be a butt to eat an apple.
That's a really funny mental picture there, by the way.
They just want an apple. And I love how in the Clone Wars, when they're frozen in carbonite, when Anakin comes up with the idea, of course it's Ugnaughts. It's like, evidently Ugnaughts only do one thing. They man carbonite freezing chambers. That's it. Totally typecast the Ugnaughts.
Right. But I mean, hey, we got an Ugnaught in the Clone Wars, whatever.
That's right. Yeah, and no. Carbonite. I love carbonite. If I could be frozen to anything, it would definitely be carbonite.
Because you could get unfrozen and still be alive.
Exactly.
Because you'd be in perfect hibernation.
Yes, which would be great. I mean, especially if you're having a rough night sleeping. What's that? You're an insomniac? Have you tried our brand of carbonite?
Overnight, yeah. Overnight carbonite beds.
Overnight carbonite.
There we go.
I told you the story of how when I was a little kid and I would sleep over at my cousin's house, every night we'd watch, if we'd ever watched Empire Strikes Back before bed, when I was falling asleep in the sleeping bag, I would always pretend I'm being frozen in carbonite, and it always comes like from my feet all the way up to my head. So it'd be like, oh no. And I'd always, of course, end up doing the Han Solo hands. Yeah, I know. And I would be like, oh no. And I do that. I still do that in the shower sometimes too. Like if it's a really, I know, TMI. But if it's like a really cold day and I'm taking like a nice long hot shower, I just pretend the steam is carbonite steam. And I'm just like, ah, I know she loves me, but I'm getting frozen. Yeah. So we have a show.
Folks, episode 101 means that we are really comfortable with each other. So
yes. Bear with us. Bear with us. If not, try carbonite for your night.
Overnight carbonite night.
Gosh, you said it like 3 seconds ago and I already forgot. Overnight carbonite. Perfect for all your insomniac needs.
Yes. But we're not talking about carbonite this episode. What are we doing?
We are talking a continuation of last episode. So so many of you were so wonderful to take the time to write to us some congratulations for our 100th episode. And because Riley Blanton talks way too much, our episode went really long last time. That's right, Riley. Threw you under the bus alone. But it went a lot longer than we were expecting, and we didn't really get a chance to get through all of the kind congratulations. So we're going to go through that tonight, as well as a few of the Larian inquiries. And then we have a short topic as well in response to our friend Steve Glosson. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yes.
But Jason, would you mind reading some of those congratulations from our Larians?
Yes. All right. We promised we'd get to them, and we're getting them a lot sooner than we thought. So
I know I posted on the social media that you had until Sunday to get them in if you really wanted to. If we get some more, we'll take them as they come. But don't worry about it. We just ended up last minute recording a Wappa's Lair tonight. So, but yeah. Our first congratulations is from our buddy Lenny, who says, "Hey guys, so I know I'm a newbie for only listening for 4 months, but I'll say your podcast quickly became one of my absolute favorites on the Star Wars Report and in general. Your topics range from fun to deep discussions on the many interpretations in Star Wars, your interactions with the listeners, and all the rest. In my opinion, you guys' episodes have been one great one after another. I also love how your Catholic faith gets some spotlight in it. In conclusion, while I haven't listened to all the episodes as they come out, I've listened to the past ones. I congratulate you on reaching 100, and I hope to be a listener for many more. P.S. My favorite moment is still when you had the listener Jackson on. Interaction was entertaining. Congrats again."
Thanks, Lenny.
Thanks. I really like being able to switch gears from really deep and in-depth conversations to just, let's have fun this episode, you know. So
right.
Yeah, and that's something we tried very hard to make sure we have a good balance of. So
yeah, and that's kind of the freedom we have. Kind of like some of our, you know, our guests, our friends that were on with us for episode 100, kind of pointed out the fact that we have it. You know, Michael Cohen said this quite a bit from the Rebels podcast, but he made the great point of how, you know, he kind of almost envies the fact that we aren't, you know, cornered by one particular topic like he was when he did Frontlines. All he could obviously really talk was Clone Wars. Now he'll mostly just be talking Rebels. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but we, Jason and I, have the freedom of just kind of being like, yeah, we're going to talk about this week. And it's really fun when we want to do those deep discussions. And I think it's, we bring something to Star Wars podcasting when we get into those things that, a lot of the other ones don't necessarily have. I'm not saying that we're better than them or anything. I don't mean that as a put down, but I think that's one edge we have. But of course we also just like to have fun, like, you know, top five torture scenes, you know, I mean, something like that.
Let's not ever do that episode.
It's going to be a deleted. That's going to be like a special release episode for like our 1,000th episode,
something like that. We'll have to come up with some like secret episode of the Wampa's Lair.
Yes,
that you have to like internet hunt for, like scavenger hunt. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'd like an internet scavenger hunt for a lost episode of the Wampa's Lair. We should figure out how to do that someday.
That would be fun. I want to play. You figure it out because I want to play. I'll record the episode. And then you hide it.
All right. I will hide it where you will never find it.
In a block of carbonite, huh?
Yep.
Overnight carbonite. Right.
All right. Well, we got another one of these from Gerhard, who's writing to us from South Africa. He says, "Freaking congratulations on 100 episodes of pure geeky goodness. I really enjoy the musings about the deeper things in the Star Wars saga, like the nature of the Force and motivations of characters, etc. I also enjoy the great voice reenactments of scenes that pop up on the odd occasion. And I was also very honored to be one of the winners of the photo contest. Wampa's Lair is my favorite Star Wars corner. Keep it up. Your pal in South Africa, Gerhard. May the Force be with you."
Well, since we're talking about Gerhard, he was also kind enough to send in an audio sample that we forgot to play last time. So I'm going to play that real quick, too.
Excellent.
This is the Gerhard Crewwagon corner of the Wampa's Lair right now. Brought to you by Overnight Carbonite.
Hey, Wampa's Lair. This is Gerhard from South Africa. And I just want to say that Wampa's Lair is awesome. Jason, Carl, you guys are my kind of dudes, talking about some geeky, heartfelt, profound Star Wars stuff. And, you know, that's awesome. And keep doing it for another 100 episodes. I love it. You guys are cool. Congratulations. Rock and roll. May the Force be with you.
Oh, first off, that was an awesome Wookiee impression that Gerhard pulled off. That was very impressive. Most impressive.
All I can do is like the Chewy mumble. I don't know. That's about my extent of Wookiee. So.
But Gerhard, thank you for both the written and the audio congratulations. We really appreciate it. And it's awesome that we are reaching people in different countries. That's just really cool.
Yeah.
You know, I guess, you know, obviously that's the joy of the internet is anybody in the entire world can hear you if they wanted to, as long as they have internet access. So it's really cool that he enjoys us and responds so well of us. And, you know, I totally agree with you, Gerhard, about Jason's voice reenactments. Although there's a good chance you're just talking about my nickel backing. I mean, I don't know. You didn't specify Jason, so you might just like the, yeah, but, but I'm sure you don't. But yeah, we definitely love when the random scenes just come naturally and they just start being, you know, acted out. He says he belongs to somebody named Obi-Wan Kenobi. Is he a relative of yours?
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan. Now that's a name I've not heard in a long time. Long time.
My uncle says he knows him. He thinks he was dead.
Oh, no, he's not dead. Not yet.
Well, you know him.
Well, of course I know him. He's me. I haven't gone by the name of Obi-Wan since, before you were born.
Well, then the droid does belong to you.
I don't ever recall ever owning a droid. Very interesting.
There it is, yeah.
It's been so long since I've done that complete scene. I was hoping I had all the lines.
I think I messed up a couple of Luke's, but that's okay.
It's good enough. Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Yes. But Gerhard did that awesome picture. I think it was basically a sketch drawing of you and I and the Wampa, right?
Yes.
That thing was baller. That was really great, Gerhard. So thank you for that.
Yes. So. And maybe we'll do another photo contest sometime. We're not sure yet. We're figuring all this out as we go. We're playing it by ear. So. Right. But we should jump back over to another one of our congratulations from Sartaj Singh. Says, Dear Jason and Carl, congratulations on 100 episodes of the Wampa's Lair podcast. It's a fine feat that takes no small task to achieve. Over the course of 100 episodes, you have regaled our ears with amusing tangents, in-depth discussion, and a wholesome contiguous and earnest approach to Star Wars fandom, a fact that is sadly eroding in contemporary fan circles. Other than just discussing Star Wars, you relate it to your lives, your aspirations, and your other endeavors in life. It is a remarkably refreshing feature of your show that makes you stand out among many other Star Wars podcasts, while also being a great accessible point for fans to come into the fold. This aspect ties into my favorite memory of your podcast, but it does not come from an episode, but an event. On May 4th, I decided to write a piece on why the Battle of Yavin from A New Hope is my favorite sequence in all six films. I posted it that day on your page and was amazed at the response that I had gotten back for it. You did not only read it, but you responded to it in such a kind and positive way. It spoke volumes about not only your commitment to your show, but how you are committed to creating a great environment for Star Wars fandom, one that is not marred by needless squabbling, bickering, and intolerance. For this reason and many more, thank you, and may the Force be with you. Your friend in the Force, Sartaj.
Sartaj, you should be a journalist or something, because that was really well written. But yeah, thank you so much for all of your kind words. That really means a lot to hear that we are kind of cultivating a space for other Star Wars fans just to express their thoughts and their love of Star Wars. And I think there is an air of positivity. I mean, you know, Jason likes Jar Jar. Nobody's going to get judged here. So, so I think we all know it's a safe space. Yeah, I mean, you know, when somebody writes something in like you did back on May 4th, I mean, it's our pleasure to share that on the air. It's always great when other people are thinking of our show and then they are inspired to do something creative on their own. Of course we want to celebrate that. I mean, this is our way of being creative with our Star Wars love and our Star Wars fandom. So it's great when we can invite you guys to do the same thing. And I appreciate the point you made about us, you know, relating Star Wars to our lives. I think it showcases just how much we love these films. It's not just we're huge geeks for cool geeky things, but it's Star Wars itself, in light of all the other geeky things we do love, because there are lots of them. I think Star Wars in a certain way just holds a special place in our heart because it does in a small way, or in a big way, really, inform our own way of seeing our lives. And I think that's, again, why we've been doing what we do for 100 episodes. So,
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. I'd agree with that, the last statement there, because, you know, I'm a fan of other geeky things because of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Because Star Wars impacted me in such a big way at such a young age. And so it's, I'm not going to say easy, but it's not unusual for me to relate my experiences and what I'm going through or what I'm thinking back to Star Wars, you know, or back to, you know, things that I've seen or read or discussed in regards to it. But yeah, I'm really glad that we're making a community that's people feel comfortable coming and posting things and talking on our Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff, because, and I know we're not the only podcast to say this, but we're just fans who happened to put a podcast together, and we're Star Wars fans, and we just want to keep the discussion going, and we want to create a place that is open and respectful and encourages people to discuss things. And so I'm really glad that we got that, and that we make such a big point to keep you, the listeners, our Larians, involved with our show. I'm glad that that does not go unnoticed. So, but anything else before we continue on?
Just thank you.
All right. Our next one comes from Brian Bailey. He says, hey, Jason and Carl, congratulations on 100 episodes of the Wampus Lair podcast. That number represents a ton of hard work you've invested producing, recording, and editing the podcast. I'm sure those skills have improved greatly through the process. I truly appreciate your unique approach to the podcast. Each episode is evergreen because they recap lists based on a topic instead of focusing on the latest news, which can become dated almost as soon as it is released. Each of you bring unique talents and perspectives. Jason brings a wide variety of entertaining and spot-on voices he can do. I imagine he actually has a few of his own creations stashed away for an opportune time. Yes, yes, I do. Carl sees Star Wars through his faith, and it's awesome when he identifies how Star Wars echoes some of the truths found in Scripture. It looks like I was introduced to the podcast with episode number 76 on February 18, The Podcast Council, The Return of the Return of Jafar, through Tim Gerasi and Kyle Avery of Star Wars The Saga Continues. Oh, that's cool that you came from there. They're awesome. Anyways, that one episode introduced me to the Star Wars Report, Fangirls Going Rogue, Star Wars Bookworms, and some others, I believe. Well, I hope you have even more success in the coming years. Thank you for all you invest for your Larians. May the Force be with you.
Oh, that's... Man, I'm starting to feel like... Oh, boy, all blushy.
I know. I'm feeling all soft and squishy inside.
Oh, like the inside of a tauntaun?
Well, not exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I appreciate you, Brian, like, you know, putting forward the work that goes into it. It's definitely become a lot less work over the years. You know, when we first started making these things, I mean, neither of us had a clue how to record a podcast, to edit a podcast, to post a podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, I give a lot of the credit goes to Riley Blanton at the Star Wars Report, who walked me through many, many a nights of audio and all that stuff. But, you know, I mean, initially, like when we used to play music all through the background, I mean, we would record a 2-hour episode and then it would take me about an hour just to put all the music in, which is part of the reason we got rid of it. Not to mention the fact that for some people, I think it was a little distracting. But yeah, I mean, as things get, you know, we've certainly progressed, I think, both with the technical aspect of it. Obviously, I have a mixer now, which is a lot of fun, and it makes things a lot easier to record. And Jason and I both have invested in, you know, different sound equipment and in different ways to try to make a better show. But I think more than that, what's definitely improved is just as good as the content is. I feel like our content has always been good, but it just continually gets better because of the rapport Jason and I really have now after doing this for a couple of years and really getting comfortable with one another. So, you know, I appreciate you, Brian, pointing that out, pointing out the fact that we have grown and hopefully we'll continue to grow. You know, hopefully by episode 9, we'll have cameo roles in that. And it'll say in the, you know, when it's listing the cast, featuring the guys from the Wampus Lair. Then you have to use our names. I don't care. Just plug our podcast.
Right. Exactly. I mean, come on. Oh, man. But yes, thank you for all those kind words. And I'm glad that those big episodes, like the return of Jafar, and of course our 100th episode where we had everybody on, helps people find other great podcasts too. Because, you know, this is all just a big community, and a lot of us know each other and everything. So it's really great when we have different people jumping from all the different podcasts to check everybody out. And so I really like being able to help facilitate that sometimes, or joining in when somebody else does it. So
yeah. Well, I think, and not to brag, even though this is a brag, I think we've done a great job of actually getting together some of the podcasts. I mean, when we did the podcast council and then on the 100th episode, I think we've done a really good job of trying to get our friends together. Not that they don't care to, but everybody's so busy. It was really nice that we were able to take that initiative, but it takes more than just our initiative. It took everybody's response to actually commit to doing it, which was great.
Right. So. Right. If you ever decide to podcast, you'll find out that the hardest thing to do is schedule. Yes. Schedule is the worst. So if you can schedule, then you know, you've got an advantage over a lot of people. But
mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyways. That's why when people do these weekly shows after, you know, for either Clone Wars or Rebels, where they're going to be reviewing every episode every week and they consistently get an episode out on time, I'm like, wow, you guys must have just like set aside a specific time period every week to record. And I'm like, my schedule is not that set. So,
yep. Yeah, it gets tough quick.
Yeah. But we got a few more here. Catherine O'Day. I hope it's O'Day or O.D. I'm not sure. I think it's O'Day. I apologize. But she says, "Dear Carl and Jason, congratulations on 100 episodes. I've been listening to your show over here in the west of Ireland since the cast for Episode 7 was announced earlier this year. Amidst the vast galaxy of Star Wars podcasts, I found yours and have been listening ever since, particularly because of the fact that you spent almost 3 hours discussing everyone's favorite scruffy-looking nerf herder. Though I won't be persuaded that Hayden Christensen belongs at the end of Return of the Jedi, I love the podcast all the same. So thanks for everything, keep up the good work, and here's to another 100.
Oh, thank you, Catherine. And again, like we were saying why did I forget his name? Gerhard. Yes, Gerhard. It's so awesome to hear from fans from different countries. That's great. And, I'm glad you listened and you felt like sticking around. That's great. And sounds like you have an affinity for Han Solo as well. Good for you. and as much as I love Jason's explanation, and I truly do, I still want Sebastian Shaw. But, yeah, thank you so much for your kind words.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And it's just really, it's really neat when I'm like, oh, wow. People from overseas are listening to us. That's weird because, you know, I'm sure it's sort of this way for a lot of people, especially over here in the United States where there's, you know, we're a little more isolated from a lot of the countries of the world where it's like, oh, yeah, people from overseas can listen to us. You know, our second biggest, you know, group of, you know, people that, you know, from any specific country that listen to us, if you look at the numbers, is from the United Kingdom. So we've got, you know, obviously the big majority is from the United States, but then a significant chunk is from the United Kingdom. So I'm like, that's just really cool that, you know, people from overseas. And then, of course, we've got people scattered all over the world that listen to the show. And it's just really funny when I'm looking at the reports and everything to see the different countries that show up. And I'm like, that's really neat.
Yeah.
But yes, I think with the announcement of Episode 7, all podcasts kind of got this big bump of interest. and it's nice that we've been able to at least retain some of the people from that interest. So I'm really glad that Episode 7 was announced because it means that we have so much more stuff coming out that we won't be able to talk about without having to go over and rediscuss things. So
yeah. But, yes.
Let's see. We got a couple of these from Twitter, so I'm going to go through both of these because they're real quick and real short. At Dave Pisani 75 says, "Well done on getting to 100 episodes. Great work. High recommend. Keep it going. top work, hashtag Wampa's Lair. And at Making Star Wars says, congratulations on 100 episodes. That's really awesome and a huge feat that exemplifies your dedication to hashtag Star Wars. So it's weird for me to just say hashtag and then whatever, because I don't Twitter very much.
Tweet, I mean, you mean?
No. I don't Twitter.
I don't. I Twitter not often.
Yes.
Twitter often? I do not.
I mean, with the show, I try to keep up and do what I can, you know, but yeah. Most of our posts are just because the Twitter account is connected to the Facebook account, and that's where we do a lot of stuff. So,
yes. But yes, we are definitely dedicated to Star Wars. And, you know, it's a far, far better lover than any woman I've met, I'll tell you that. Hashtag amazing. Hashtag tonight carbonite. Or what is it again? Wow, why do I keep forgetting it, Jason?
Good night. No. Huh. Oh, overnight carbonite.
Overnight carbonite. Yes. Hashtag overnight carbonite.
There we go. Oh, we're going to get like some tweets.
I hope so.
This week with hashtag overnight carbonite.
That's the plan.
That's funny. Anyways, we got, I think, two more here. Mm-hmm. Philip Liebold sent in, congrats on 100 episodes. My favorite moment? I don't remember which episode it was, but Jason was halfway through a thought, and he actually stopped to take a swig of Dr. Pepper. It was such a silly moment, but it instantly endeared me to your podcast. Maybe it's because your podcast is more than just geeking out about Star Wars, but also sharing life and silly moments with others. I love the work you guys do. Keep it up.
I loved that little moment there too, Philip. Jason is a very loud soda drinker, so it's amazing.
Well, when I want to be.
It keeps me entertained. So if you listen loud enough, Philip, sometimes I fart on accident. So
see, I think the thing about that is that while we like to be, you know, professional and we like to, you know, present a good face for the podcast, we're real, and that we do these silly things, and just because something goofy happens doesn't mean we're going to cut it out, because it's fun for us. It cracks us up. And so if we're laughing and having fun, why not just leave it on the show? Because honestly, the amount of editing that happens once we start talking is very minimal. Usually we don't edit anything. If we make a flub or a mistake, we just back up and do it again, and it's all on the show.
Or if we have Joe Hogan on and he drops an F-bomb, we got to deal with that. So
it's a trap. That's our favorite, you know, swear word blocker.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if Riley's on, sometimes he likes to drop some foul language.
Yes. Yes. All about the cranes and the pigeons and, yeah, exactly. You know, foul language. Oh man. Sorry. Oh,
that was a great joke.
Honey, that's my dad coming through. I'm becoming my father.
Hey, as long as he's not Darth Vader, that's okay.
That's true. So.
And we have one last congratulations, yes. Don't we, Jason?
Yes, we do. And this is from our good buddy Jazz, who, as we all know, comes from Norway. He was at Rancho Obi-Wan this weekend for their big party.
Yeah,
I saw pictures on Facebook, and I got jealous.
Like, he travels like everywhere. It's like, oh, Star Wars event, I'm going to go. It's like, no matter where it is in the world. Oh, it's on the moon this year? No big deal. I'll be there.
I think half of the year is spent, you know, outside of his hometown.
I think Jazz is secretly a millionaire, and he just pretends not to be. He's like, you know what? I'm going to buy, you know what? The T-34 Snowspeeder? Yeah, I own one. Like a real
Jazz
one.
Jazz is secretly hired by Lucasfilm as a convention goer to, you know, keep an idea on the pulse of what's actually going on with the fans and everything. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But anyway, Jazz says this. Hey there, Kyle and Jacob.
Idiot doesn't even know our names.
I know, gosh. But he says, got to chime in on your 100th episode. Damn, it's been a ride. What can I say? There's a plethora of Star Wars podcasts out there, and I listen to a few of them, but none, and I mean none, are as fun as yours. while others become that background noise while I'm cleaning my apartment. Yours is one I look forward to devouring, squealing like a little girly girl when a new episode shows up in the feed. Last night I was listening to your Best of Kenobi moments. My top spot is a tie between Satine's death and Obi-Wan's anguish as he talks to the maimed Vader on the lava banks of Mustafar. As I was driving toward Yosemite, that's here in the States. It's not even in Norway.
No, of course not. He got here on his own personal Millennium Falcon, an actual Millennium Falcon.
Right. And he says, and in the darkness, it was like listening to a couple of buddies talking, and it was all I could do to not join in. And therein lies your appeal. Other podcasts are too tied up in trying to become Star Wars news channels, while you are fans for the fans, keeping the franchise fresh and real. Oh, and of course, I would like to mention how awesome it has been to have been asked on your show twice. Keep it up, boyos. And yes, Jason, that is a Jar Jar reference.
Oh, boy. You're the guy's mom bad. Give it to me, Jason.
Hello, boyos.
How could you not love that?
And there's people getting out their you know, pulling out their laptops and everything. Let me write an essay on why I don't love that. Sorry.
Joe Hogan being the primary target.
I might be slightly jaded against those people. but anyways.
Yeah, Jazz, thank you. We'll definitely have you on again, hopefully soon. I mean, maybe you could just, like, come to my apartment and record with me. Evidently, like, nowhere's off limits for you, which is amazing. But, yeah, I mean, I think we do – we just by constantly bringing up new ideas, we are keeping even the old Star Wars fresh. You know, like I said to Riley, when you go into the Star Wars podcasting supermarket, we are in the front in the produce section where it's fresh. That joke is so bad I had to use it again. yeah, thank you, Jazz. We love that you feel that way about it. And I think that – when people say, you know, I feel like I'm just listening to two buddies, you know, to my buddies talking about the wars. Well, that's what we are. We're two guys who are buddies talking about Star Wars. So yeah. I appreciate that very spot on description because it's not like we're intending to go for that. Like we're faking it. It's like we're just getting on and talking Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, we want to have that sort of conversational appeal, I suppose. I don't know if that's the right word, appeal, but that conversational aspect to it, because this is all just based on the idea of when we were at fan days and just talking about Star Wars, you know, talking about our favorite movies and our favorite characters. And that was where this whole started. And we just wanted to keep those kinds of discussions going. And that's not to knock the news podcasts, because there's some great ones out there and, you know, good on them for working to keep up with all of it, especially with all the rumors that fluctuate every 3 minutes.
Right.
But that's not our focus. And so I'm glad that what we have genuinely comes across in the audio when it gets posted to you guys. So
yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, like we've said before, I mean, we kind of pride ourselves not being just a news podcast. And again, that's not to knock those particular podcasts. I mean, that's in a way, that's a lot. To me, it's a different type of work than the type of work we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you always got to stay on top of those things. And that's just not where our focus lies. I mean, we love to keep up to date on the news, and thank God for all those other podcasts that help keep us up to date.
Exactly. But,
you know, our love is for the deeper lore of Star Wars. So that's what we like to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So
indeed.
And speaking of said lore, Steve Glosson posed a question that we did not answer last time he was on. I mean, granted, he did pose it while trying to avoid our question.
Yes.
But Steve did ask a good, poignant question, which is typical Steve Glosson. Mm-hmm. He asked, you know, what is the one moment or the one line in Star Wars that just draws you in every time, that, you know, that just keeps you coming back for more? And that was a tough question to be asked on the fly, so we figured, hell, we'll make that our mini topic tonight. So, Jason, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do it. And this is not just because it's from my favorite Star Wars movie, Return of the Jedi, but honestly, every time I get to this moment, and I will not be surprised if we have the same one, Carl.
Jason, I'm going to be really disappointed if it's not. Hello, boyos.
It's not.
Damn.
But I will not be surprised if we have the same one because we've talked this one, this point, you know, every way that imaginable. But honestly, I think with everything, with all of my love about the prequels, especially, you know, all the Jedi action from Attack of the Clones and everything, and while that gets my heart racing and my excitement up when I, you know, the arena battle happens, honestly, I think when I think about it, it comes down to I am a Jedi like my father before me. I
hate you. Just kidding.
Like I told you, Carl, I think we're going to have the same one. We didn't talk about this beforehand, folks, about what we were picking. But I mean, honestly, I think it's my favorite moment because so much is wrapped up in that statement. I mean, it's a fulfillment of his destiny. It is a rejection of the attacks that Palpatine has been sending his way. A rejection of Palpatine's ideas, and it's a defiant statement, you know, against Palpatine, sealing Luke's personal victory over the Sith. And then it's also a call to Anakin from deep down within the bowels of Vader. So there is just so much wrapped up in that one moment. You failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi, like my father before me. There's just so much in that that I get, you know, either choked up or chills or just excited every time that comes up, depending on where my head is at the time. So what do you want to say about it?
This is what I want to say about it, Jason.
Go fulfill your destiny. Take your father's place at my side. Never. I'll never turn to the dark side. You failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Nah. Whoops.
So be it.
So be it.
Jedi.
So be it, Jedi.
So be it, Jedi.
Oh, how would the...
Jedi. Oh, I cracked myself up. Sorry, I totally stepped all over your point. What were you about to say?
No, not much more than what you said. But actually, Jason, believe it or not, that's actually not my favorite thing.
What?
I know. I knew you'd be surprised. It's actually the torture scene. I'm just kidding. He doesn't look happy right now, people, if you could see him.
The silence... in my face is definitely silence in my face. Yeah, that makes sense. Anyways,
but yes, no, this is definitely, it's just the one moment when I sat down and thought about it, you know, I was mulling through all these other things and it just kept going back to that. And I was like, nope, that's it. I mean, this is like a lot of what you just said, Jason. I mean, it is the culmination of the hero's journey. And it is Luke Skywalker again, asserting his identity, asserting himself, and letting you know who he is. You know, I'm a Jedi and I've completed my journey and I don't care what the consequences are because that's who I am. And, you know, he's not going to give in to the whims of the Emperor. So I just, you know, when I think of Star Wars and I think of the strong characters that we have, I mean, Luke is certainly the strongest in my opinion. And this is the scene where we see that. Again, it's that self-assertion of this is who I am and I'm proud of who I am and I'm not going to compromise that. So I think that'll always be my favorite moment in Star Wars. And like you said, Jason, like if I'm watching that scene, as long as I'm, you know, if I'm actually invested in watching, sometimes if I just throw it out in the background, certainly not, it certainly doesn't have the same effect. But when I'm watching that scene and really focused, it'll give me chills or it'll bring a tear to my eye. But it is just so awesome to watch that scene and see this is who Luke has become.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, there's not much more I can say. We've talked about this point a lot before.
because it is our favorite moment.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. But, I think that for me is my favorite moment in Star Wars. So, I got to give it to my boy Luke.
Yeah. And I really would agree with you that by the end of it, Luke does prove that he is the strongest character in Star Wars.
Oh yeah.
I mean, even more so than Obi-Wan or Yoda,
mm-hmm.
because he goes against the advice of both of them in just killing and eliminating Vader. And he goes past that in order to redeem Vader. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, they're, you know, and obviously there's different types of strength, you know.
Right.
But the Empire, the right. Emperor and Vader's strength is a much more hollow strength, I think, than what Luke has. So.
Yeah, I'd completely give it to you. I mean, it's his feet are on the ground. He is confident. This is who he is. I mean, mm-hmm. he is standing on a very firm foundation. Whereas Vader, the Emperor, their foundation is always has an underlying of fear.
Right.
And even Obi-Wan can't quite see as clearly as Luke can. You know, he's pretty adamant that Luke has to kill Darth Vader. And Luke sees something beyond that. Again, I think Luke, come the end of Return of the Jedi, is probably the most strongly connected character to the Force. Even more so than Yoda and Obi-Wan, debatably. It's a different type of connection, maybe. Maybe not stronger, but definitely a very unique one. He trusts it in a very real way.
No, it's almost like there's a complete... It's almost as if Luke is, you know, a part of the Force while still alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's a total just sort of off-the-hand metaphorical comment, not intended to be any sort of basis for a theory whatsoever.
I mean, if you think about it, there's one of my favorite episodes of the Clone Wars in season 5 is the one where I think it's called The Gathering, and Yoda makes the comment about how Jedi are basically the Force personified. They're the personifications of the Force. They, in a sense, I mean, they are what make the Force real for the world around them. And I think Luke as being the fullest Jedi possible in that scene.
Yeah.
In that entire movie, really. But it's epitomized in that scene of this is the fullness of a Jedi. They don't murder. They don't kill. They don't give in to the whims of the dark side. So, or again, to refer it back to another Clone Wars episode, Clone Wars, you're so good to us.
Yes.
But, you know, in season 5, when Obi-Wan is facing down Darth Maul, and I think it's Eminence, and he basically says, you know, right before he kills Satine, you know,
Lawless.
Thank you. You know, you think you're powerful, but true power is those who have the strength to resist the dark side. And that's what we see Luke do there. He has a far stronger connection to the Force because he's able to resist that pure selfishness that epitomizes the dark side. And I think that's what Luke is doing there is, you know, it's very easy to be tempted by the dark side in life in general too, right? Like not even just in mm-hmm. Star Wars, but it's very easy to want something that is quickly self-gratifying. Because it's easy and it's quick. But
the instant gratification is extremely pervasive, you know.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing.
Right.
But I mean
especially
in this age of, you know, the faster and faster internet and, you know, 4G and all that stuff with our
Riley's,
you know,
not familiar with that, but okay.
Stop
just kidding,
it.
Me. Love Stop you, it. Riley.
Be nice. But I mean, you know, with everything, you know, us needing everything now, you know, the concept of delaying that for something better farther down the road is kind of foreign to a lot of us nowadays, which really makes me sad. But
excuse me.
It's okay. But yeah, Luke definitely is not swayed by the instant gratification route.
So. Right. And again, you can, you know, it's very clear that the Revenge of the Sith duel with Dooku at the beginning is meant to be a mirror of Return of the Jedi. And Anakin wants to kill Count Dooku. Of course, he wants revenge. He hates Dooku for starting this war, for putting Padme's life in danger several times, as well as Palpatine's. So Palpatine gives him the permission to do it. And he takes that permission. He's like, you know what? If he says it's okay. I mean, he's like, oh, you know, I shouldn't have done that. It's not the Jedi way. But it's like, yeah, but you still did. You had the choice not to.
It was only natural. You took off your arm. You want a revenge. It wouldn't be the first time, Anakin. Remember what you told me about your mother and the sand people?
That was my really bad Tusken Raider. But yeah, no. And, you know, Luke would have gotten the same affirmation had he gone through and killed Vader. Like, good for you. You know, he took your hand. He messed up your life. You did what you were supposed to. But Luke's
a horrible father figure.
Exactly. You know? But Luke looks at him and says, nope, this isn't what I want to be. I want to be something greater. And he makes that decision. So, absolutely. Great scene.
Excellent.
Excellent. Everything's going as planned. Yeah.
One of the other things that we had in the hopper that was an option and something we wanted to do for episode 100 but didn't get to it because the time with our guests took up all of the time for the show was the fact that you guys, you Larians, sent in a bunch of Larian inquiries. And so we've got a bunch of them, like six or seven of them in a document here. But we're going to do about four of them today. And then we'll get to some of the other, you know, bigger ones
right
farther down the road.
We'll space them out. A few people wrote in a couple quick, shorter ones. So we're going to address those this evening. But some people like really went in depth with a couple bigger ones. So we're just going to save those for later dates to tackle one at a time on future episodes.
Exactly.
So, but our first one comes from Matt Marks. And he says, a lot of people were really excited for episode one to come out, but then didn't really like it after they saw it. Are you at all worried that you'll see episode 7 and not like it? Jason, go.
Nope. Not at all.
Why not?
Because
he loved episode 1, for starters.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. I mean, I went into The Phantom Menace. I loved it, and I saw it four times in the theaters. That's the most I've ever seen any Star Wars movie in the theaters. So Revenge of the Sith was second with 3, I believe. But yeah, no, I honestly... if I'm taking Star Wars so critically serious to the point that I can't find things to have fun with, even if some of the points in the movie aren't what I'm looking for, then I'm not, in my own estimation, in my own way of setting up my fandom, then I'm not doing it right. And I'm not saying that people have to subscribe to that idea, but if there isn't something that I will find redeeming or something that I will latch onto in the movie because I'm looking at it too critically, then I'm not doing it right, because this is a hobby. This is something fun. This is something I'm doing because I enjoy it. And my focus is to keep it that way and not to look at things and take them apart and put them back together. So, I mean, take them apart critically. So, honestly, and I'm working on this now, purging out all the different ideas that the post Return of the Jedi expanded universe, now Legends, gave us. I'm working on purging that out of my brain so that when I go to see episode 7, I don't have a preconceived concept of what I believe it should be. And I think that's going to be even more difficult. Maybe not more difficult, but in some areas of fandom, it might be more difficult, especially the EU heavy fans, to do that, because they have such a wealth of information and a wealth of what had been. And so my hope is that people can put that aside to enjoy on a different plane, I guess. Enough so that they can just take what happens in episode 7 at face value and enjoy it as is. So,
Yeah, I'm not worried at all about episode 7. I think it'll be really good. And I think J.J. Abrams is a great director. I really like him. I think he's a great storyteller. And we have Lawrence Kasdan helping to write, who helped write the screenplay. I have every confidence in it. And again, their step back into using more practical effects makes me extremely happy. Because the CGI in the prequels was it got to be too much. So I'm really excited to see where this goes. And I'm also just really excited too, because, you know, like we've said several times before, we have no idea where episode 7 is going to go. I mean, it can go really anywhere it wants because they're not limited by the EU. And I don't say that as a put down on the EU, but simply put, if you have to follow the EU, there's only so many places you can go. So they are free to go anywhere they want. And I think that's really exciting for us Star Wars fans because we get to see something completely new. So I'm not worried about it at all. And I highly doubt it'll have the flop effect that episode 1 did. And you know, obviously I know most of you who are probably listening to this actually do like episode 1. I enjoy episode 1 a lot, and I loved it when it first came out. I mean, I don't think it holds up the same way that some of the other ones do over the years, but I still enjoy it. But I don't think we'll have this massive negative reaction like we did with episode 1. Because episode 1 is, I mean, it's markedly different than the original trilogy movies.
And that's the thing, because people grew up with the original trilogy movies, they had an idea in their head of how we got there. And since the movies are much more prevalent than the novels in people's minds, there was, you know, and we kind of knew where everything was going to end up in the first place with episode one, because things started out differently than they anticipated or had thought would happen. Especially with a kid who is pure innocence and who turns to be one of the most horrible people in the galaxy. I think more than anything, that kind of made people really uneasy because, you know, the idea that somebody so innocent could become someone so evil is just really hard to think about.
Yeah.
But sorry, I jumped on you on your point.
No, that was my point. I'm done.
Okay. Cool.
So our next learn inquiry comes from Lenny. And he says, if you guys could change one fact in the Star Wars saga, what would it be? For example, Padme surviving or something like that. I'm going to start this one, Jason.
Okay.
you do that. So if there's one thing I could change besides the fact of recasting Anakin Skywalker for the prequels, it would be, I mean, he's saying fact, so I'm assuming he means in universe. I should have let you go first.
I have one, if you want me to go first.
Actually, well, go ahead.
Okay. My thing is, and this does sort of build off of the suggestion you gave because it's something I thought about so much. Not Padme surviving, because Padme needs to die for the story to go the way that it does. But the interaction with Padme and Anakin, the sort of rejection, I feel, needs to have something a little more medically complicated, medically violent, than just she lost the will to live. Because that's sort of like a really undercutting of Padme as a person right at the last second of her life. Is that there needed to be an interaction between Padme and Anakin that she could have survived for a time afterwards, but that it eventually, because of the injury and then through the act of childbirth, just was too much for her body and she died that way, rather than this giving up will to live thing that the medical droid sort of gives us, because medically she's perfectly fine. It seems she has just lost the will to live. And I'm like, that's too meh for Padme, and Padme is too strong of a character to just lose the will to live. And so that would be the one fact, that there needed to be some sort of medical injury, that because of that injury and then the act of going through childbirth, her body couldn't sustain itself afterwards. So have you come up with one?
I do. At least for right now. It may be something different if I were asked this at a later date. But I think that pops out to me right now is the relationship between Owen and Anakin. Owen Lars, there is no relationship between them. It's really weak. So when we get to episode 4 and, you know, Owen's all like, you know, Bru's like, oh, he's got too much of his father. Oh, that's what I'm afraid of. Yeah, I'm sure Owen might have heard about what happened to Luke, but...
To Anakin,
yeah. But it's like, that's so distant and far removed. It would have been nice if, you know, Owen had gone off with Anakin to find his mother, and they both stumble onto the camp, and he, like, watches in horror as Anakin slaughters all the Tusken Raiders, right? Something firsthand of Anakin's rage or anger might really help set up to give more weight to what Owen says in episode 4 without just being word of mouth. And also, who? Like, Obi-Wan showing up there. Who the hell is this guy? He's never met Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he's just like, here's a baby. Take care of it. You know, I mean, that's always been a very weak point in episode 3. So having Owen be somehow more involved in episode 2, you know, maybe R2 plays the message from Obi-Wan in front of everybody. And Owen's like, who's that? And, you know, you can assume at least off camera that Anakin has a short conversation with about who Obi-Wan is. But, you know, something more with a relationship between Anakin and Owen would be really good, because it would give more weight to what Owen has to say to Luke in episode 4, is what I think.
So, yeah, no, I really like that idea. I could see it'd be very easy to put Owen into that scene to rescue Shmi, because, you know, Anakin's first through the tent, they have a tender little scene.
Yeah.
He's hanging out in the background, and then
I could easily see. Oh, sorry, I'll let you finish.
And then he, like, you know, Anakin gets the Shmi dies, Anakin gets the look of rage, and sets Shmi down, and he goes out the front of the tent with Owen left to sort of take care of Shmi, and then he comes out to see sort of the aftermath of what Anakin has done. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, or even, you know, what would have been great too is even just having, you know, you could easily see Anakin being reluctant to let Owen come with him, even if Owen's like, well, I'm gonna go with you. Mm-hmm. Anakin, because he's so arrogant and proud, no, you're not coming with me. So maybe, like, Anakin's on the way and Owen follows him, and Anakin mm-hmm. notices that he's following, so he stops and, like, pulls his speeder over and, you know, has some words with Owen, like, basically, I don't need you on this. But then Owen has a confession of his love for Shmi too, right? Like, it we're supposed to believe that he really cared about her too. So, you know, he can pour out to Anakin, like, look it, I know you want to help, but, like, you don't realize what an effect she's had on me and my life and now Beru. Like, right, make some sort of connection between the two of these characters because of Shmi. Mm-hmm. And then Anakin says, you know what, fine, why don't you come with me? Like, Anakin kind of concedes to the fact that Owen, in a sense, is his stepbrother. You know, give some sense of a feeling of relationship between the two of them. And then they go off together. They find him, and Anakin slaughters them, and Owen's like, holy shit. So, holy crap. Right. So, something like that would be really cool to see.
Yeah. No, I like it. I like it a lot. It's a really good one.
Yeah, good question, Lenny. Thank you.
Excellent.
So our next question comes from, our friend Jackson. Jackson says, hey, Carl and Jason, this is Jackson. I have a Larian inquiry. EA is making the new Star Wars Battlefront game. EA has experience with shooter games, for example, like Medal of Honor. Do you think because of EA's experience with Medal of Honor, they will do a good job on Star Wars Battlefront? What say you, Jason?
Honestly, I have no idea. I'm not much of a gamer. And I don't pay too close attention to what gaming studios put out which games. And I don't think I played Medal of Honor. So, but I do know friends that are into gaming, are like the system that's being used to create Battlefront. They're just a little uneasy with some of EA's downloadable content policies. But other than that, I think as long as they give us something that resembles what we had with Battlefront, it'll be a top seller no matter what, because everybody loved playing Battlefront that I know. Right.
Yeah, and like you, Jason, I'm not much of a gamer myself. I mean, I loved Battlefront 1 and 2. I played them for the PlayStation 2. PlayStation 2. There we go. Now, I mean, I loved the Medal of Honor games for EA. I mostly just played Allied Assault on my computer. And they do have great experience with first-person shooters and such. But I also hope they don't make Battlefront a first-person shooter. I prefer third-persons, personally. But yeah, I think they'll do a great job. I think, you know, Disney's not going to give this project over to a company that they think is going to do a bad job. So I'm plenty confident that it'll be a good game. But again, not being much of a gamer, I don't think my opinion holds a whole lot of weight. So, but yeah, I'm not too worried. I think it'll be a fun game all the same. And I'm just excited for it because I loved Battlefront 2. So,
yeah, but no kidding.
The last inquiry we're going to do for this evening, it comes from Joshua Bodzin. And he says, not to focus on the negative, but what's your least favorite scene, movie, TV episode, book, theme, or any other Star Wars related thing? So, Jason, you love stuff like this.
I really don't like these kinds of questions because I don't focus on the negative. If something doesn't appeal to me, I just say, well, that's not my thing, and I just sort of like drop it off at the far edges of my fandom and forget about it. do you have anything specific while I try and come up with something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time on the negative, but you know, I mean, there are some not so good things in Star Wars for sure, like, and anything. You know, my least favorite movie is either Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones, depending on the day. Sometimes I really enjoy Episode 1, and I'll be like, oh, this is definitely better than Attack of the Clones. But then sometimes I'll go put Attack of the Clones in, and I'm like, oh, no, this is definitely better than Phantom Menace. So I can never really decide. As far as TV episodes go, anything with just the droids in them for the Clone Wars, I have not enjoyed. I'm just being honest. I just, they're too childish for me. And I also just, like, I'm not a big fan of R2 and 3PO to begin with. I mean, I love them. I mean, they are staples of the Star Wars universe. You need them. But I don't think they can't be main characters for me. There's nothing to connect to for me personally. So yeah, I mean, and that's pretty much it for me. To me, the only maybe negative theme to Star Wars is, you know, in Episode 3, you know, Padme stays loyal to an abusive husband. But other than that, I don't know. I mean, it's not a whole lot really negative, you know, over-reliance on CGI in the prequels and bad script writing, but, you know, but again, I don't want to focus on those things, but yeah, I guess that would be my response.
I'm going to give a cop-out answer and then a real answer. Cop-out answer, my least favorite thing in Star Wars, the holiday special. That thing is atrocious.
That is true.
It is so completely atrocious. It's so bad, it's funny.
Except for the cartoon with Boba Fett.
The cartoon with Boba Fett is the one redeeming quality in that thing. But everything else is just horrific.
I did say Boba Fett there.
You did say Boba Fett.
I'm practicing not saying Boba Fett, even though his name is... He'll always be Boba Fett to me. The world's greatest bounty hunter and shrimp seller.
Trying to get Joe Hogan off your back with that.
Whatever. Shut up, Hogan.
But the non cop out answer is the novel, I believe it's called The Approaching Storm, which is set right before Attack of the Clones, and in Attack of
isn't that the one where they're having the border dispute on Ancion?
Yes, I was about to say yes. You know, when Mace Windu says that Anakin and Obi-Wan just returned from the border dispute on Ancion. That's the book, and the book is, I think if it wasn't Star Wars, I might have enjoyed it better, but it is just, and I've read it two or three times just to see if my idea of it changes, and there's some moments in it that I like, and then there's some new characters I like, but it's basically Obi-Wan and Anakin team up with Luminara, Unduli, and Barisafi, and they go on this mission. And they have to, like, travel across these plains to find these nomadic tribes of the species in order to make peace so that the people that run the cities don't join the separatists. And it's really slow moving. It moves so slowly. The biggest redeeming quality of it for me, though, is that there's one point where in order to appease and to getting the good graces with one of these tribes, they have to – they're invited as guests to this big feast. And what happens with guests in this tribe is that the guests provide the entertainment. And so each of the Jedi have to do something to entertain the tribe. And the one weird thing is Anakin sings. Anakin sings a song that his mother taught him. So that was a little weird. But Obi-Wan tells a story. Obi-Wan tells a story, and he has everybody enthralled and entranced. Bara Sophie does some lightsaber gymnastics where she's like twirling the lightsaber real close to her body and, you know, keeping herself safe and everything. And the really cool one is Luminara uses the force with the sand and like does these weird, you know, sort of like almost like ribbons of sand all around her and everything as she's lifting up in the force and twirling and everything. That was kind of cool. But this whole story is really slow. It's not very action-packed. It's really kind of cerebral, and they're out in the rural desert all the time, the rural plains the whole time. There's a lot of them traveling, a lot of traveling. It's like it's like putting the Fellowship of the Ring into Star Wars. And while I love Lord of the Rings and Fellowship of the Ring, it doesn't work in this novel. It's, but yeah.
Yeah. I remember I read that novel once. I don't remember. I don't know. I remember just being like, eh, whatever with it.
Yeah. That's sort of my opinion of it too. Yeah. It's just, it's just really slow moving and doesn't give me any oomph. Right. And so, you know, if that's the worst I have to say about Star Wars, you know, we're doing pretty good.
I'll say. So anyway, thank you everybody for the inquiries. We really appreciate it. And like I said, there was a few others that were a little bit more involved, a little bit more in depth that we're going to just save to use in the next few episodes. So if you're thinking to yourself, hey, they didn't read mine, don't worry. We got you. Yes. We're just saving them for a later time. And again, thank you to everybody for the congratulations. We really appreciate that so much. We love that we have created a community where you guys feel welcome, where you feel like you can express yourself and have fun with Star Wars, because that's what the Wampus Lair is all about.
Indeed. But before we start wrapping this up, we have a poll. We are back on to doing polls and matchups. Yeah. We sort of let that lie at the end of last episode. But we have a new poll for the end of this episode. And Carl, since you came up with the idea, why don't you go ahead and reveal it?
Well, we figure what's better to do polls on than the actual Star Wars movies. So we're going to go through the saga movie by movie like we did in the past. And you guys are going to let us know what your favorite scenes are. So we're going to start where it all began, chronologically, with Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. What is your favorite scene in The Phantom Menace?
Yes. Yes. And we will put that up on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff. And what are those? What exactly are the locations on the those proverbial internet addresses that people can find us at, Carl?
Well, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/WampusLairPodcast, and on Twitter, twitter.com/WampusLair, and you can send us an email at WampusLairPodcast@gmail.com.
Excellent. And yes, if you have more Larian inquiries like the ones that we addressed here, be sure to turn those in at those convenient locations as well. But any final thoughts before we end this episode?
Monsieur Leclerc. No, not this time.
All right. Well, in that case, thank you everybody for listening to this episode of the Wampus Lair Podcast. We are the conversation podcast of the 2nd Airborne Division over at StarWarsReport.com. And this has been episode 101, The Wampus Lair and You. So for Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampus Lair.
I will train Anakin. Without the approval of the Council, if I must.
Okay. Just let me know whenever you're ready so we can start.
Yeah.